All right. Hello and welcome to VG Club. My name is Paul/Viv, aka Daxter23Jack, and today I am joined by Korea9, aka Chris.
That's me.
Javi, aka Javiously.
What's up?
BJK394, aka Ben.
Hey, yeah, that's me.
Cool Lock, aka Marcus.
You know, I don't have any quotable lines from Hitman, so hello.
Honestly, just make a con about execution, and you pretty much you could come up with anything. I'd believe you.
I'm not gonna try.
Okay. And then, last but not least, Grace.
Hey there. I didn't have enough time to come up with a pun, so hi.
All right, and today we will be talking about IO Interactive's 2008 Hitman 2. So, yeah, before we kind of get into the weeds of things, what was everybody's general impression of the game?
I'm bad at these games. That is my impression.
Are you much... you're not much of a stealth person, are you, Chris?
I mean, I theoretically like stealth things. Like, I like spies and shit like that, but I blow shit up. That's what happens when I play these games, so... Yeah. Like, Metal Gear, I can get through Metal Gear. These ones, everything happens to be mayhem when I am unleashed, and it's not necessarily the best way to play these, so...
Fair enough. What about you, Marcus?
I really enjoy these games. They're really well made. Depending on the level, I will either, you know, play it as they sort of instruct you to, when they sort of give you those guidelines, and be like, just go here and do this and do the thing, and really play it on rails. Or if I'm like, really enjoy the level, want to explore it, I just turn all that stuff off and see where the audio and whatnot takes me. So that it gives me that option, I think I like really appreciate from the series. And the fact that it just keeps layering on itself with each sequel. I also really enjoy that too. It's just such a treat.
To hear. What about you, Ben?
I like these games. I'm not very good at them, but I think the modern Hitman games, the level design is like really, really good and really, really cool and clever and like huge. Like every level is always like way bigger than I ever think it's going to be. And I really like just like running around, exploring a map, like figuring out where all the little secret passages are and you know, I like just knowing and learning the maps. And I think that's, these games are really, really good about that.
Cool. What about you, Javi?
Yeah, I mean, these Hitman, like the what is it called? The assassination, World of Assassination games. I think they're all spectacular. The levels are really meticulously built, and there's just so many ways to go about every situation. And the process of discovering the opportunities you have and the things you can do and just like following your marks around and hearing little stories like around the level, like all that stuff is so good. I will say that, you know, I played all three of these Hitman games and I finished them all eventually, but like I always end up just kind of digging into a single level. I complete it and then, you know, I look at all the objectives and all the crazy like tasks, like in Hitman 1 there's like a special costume hidden in the attic of this mansion or whatever during a party, and you have to like kill someone as like dressed up in that costume. It's just all those little things I really dig into, and I love it, but it honestly makes it so that I kind of stop playing the game after one or two levels for like months at a time. Just because I replay that level over and over and over again, trying to like, you know, 100% it. But I love it. I think these games are great.
Did the episodic format train you to play it like that, Javi, or is that just what you gravitate towards from that first game?
Yeah, I think the first game came out and the second one was about to come out, and I had never played any of these games, and I think our friend Fozzie was like, you gotta try this, and I went over to his house and played like a mission from the first game. I'm like, dude, Hitman's great. And I was like immediately, I was like, this is cool. And so I bought it for myself. And yeah, since I only had the first game available and I knew the second one was coming, I don't know. For some reason, I just really got into playing that first level. That's probably the level that I've played the most in the entire series, the first level on the first game. So I don't know. I guess it was a naturally, that's just how I ended up playing it.
Wonder if it's, some of it is like, there's all these special objectives that you can pull off, and like the game keeps layering that on for each of the levels.
Yeah.
So like you can, they're replayable to the point of like infinity, because they keep adding different objectives for you to do and different ways for you to do them. So that's probably a reason why you're like, I'm going to do this one and just master it.
Yeah. And it also, like, these levels are kind of, like, a lot of them are enormous, right? And it is a task on itself to, like, learn the level and learn where everything, where is the rat poison on this one? Where's the screwdriver on this one? Where's the wrench? And then what is the pattern of the marks? Where do they go? What are my opportunities? So, like, yeah, mastering is kind of a good word to describe what I try to do. I don't know. I think that also after you complete any of these levels, it has that breakdown of like your score, your rating, the star rating, and then it shows that whole screen of all the like basically achievements of things you can do in the level, and it'll like, you know, highlight the ones that you did on this one, and then it shows all the ones you haven't gotten yet. And so I kind of get obsessed about filling that out. I feel like I hadn't actually finished the game yet.
Yeah, these games are, they're rough games for completionists, because I don't think you straight up can't like 100% a level on a single playthrough. You have to play it like,
oh yeah,
multiple times to actually do and see.
I mean, like, I think that's how the levels themselves are designed. I mean, going back to what you said, I mean, these games were originally released in episodic format. I mean, I remember back in the day, like, FOSI in particular, I was really psyched about this format and thought it was the future, and it's kind of weird how a bit of that's kind of dissolved away. I mean, I'm trying to think of any series that kind of release episodic format like this anymore. Am I spacing out on something?
You're not, and there's a reason for it, and there's been multiple reports like that. Basically, people will buy that first game, and like Hitman, I think specifically IO went out, and that's why I think the second and third one were full games, is because that first one, like, you have all these people that come in, and then the player base drops off at number two, like 50% by number two, and then 50% under that by number three. So by the time you, like, nobody finishes it, like, because they're not playing through the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was the same with, like, the Telltale games. Like, they lost a lot of, like, after first episode, like, they lose a lot of their player base. So it's just not financially stable.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, like, go ahead, Marcus.
Oh, that was me. I was just gonna say that I think the problem is like the length of time and the uncertainty of how long you're gonna have to wait for the next episode.
Yeah,
like, yeah, because like in a different way of doing it, this could work to keep these games in the zeitgeist. Like, if every single month is probably as long as I would wait, but like if you did it every 2 weeks or every week. That would keep people talking about Hitman like for as long as that goes on.
What was the? I think it was Revelations 2 that released episodically. Yeah, and they did it in 5 weeks, like it was five episodes. But they did it like every week there was a new one.
Yeah,
and I think that maintained their player base because like people were like, shit, like the new one's coming out. I just finished this one. Jump into the second one. And I think you're right, Javi. Like it's too much time in between when they're doing it, and you lose people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I was also gonna add, like, if you look at, like, trophy or achievement completion rates, like, it's honestly kind of depressing, because you see, like, a lot of people, you know, buy a certain game, but, like, when you look at completion rates, you'll be like, oh, people didn't even get to this like halfway point or to this like one third point, and a fraction of that even complete the game. So I think that might just be how people consume games in general. It's easier to have a, you know, the consumer buy it up front, and you know, if it's not for them, it's not for them. They already funded the game in and of itself. Whereas if you do the, I guess, the episodic format, a person can be like, okay, I bought episode one on a whim. I didn't buy the season pass. Let's see if I liked episode one. I didn't, so I'm not going to play the rest. Whereas if you buy it's $70 games now, then they have your money up front.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I just got to know, Dax, why are you attacking Grace like that?
She single-handedly feeds the families of developers. Do not insult her like that.
Well, on a different topic, like I'm the type of person that like I would not play a game episodically. Like they release episode one, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna wait until the last episode is out and then play it. Like I am not gonna wait. So that's kind of, they got all my money. So yeah, that's kind of on what you were talking about. They got it all at once. But I mean, by that point, it was also on sale a lot because, you know, like, oh, the full game is out. Now we're going to do, you know, launch discount or whatever. And so, but yeah, like episodic games in general, I would not wait. I don't care if it was, you know, a week, a month, you know, 7 months, whatever. I had to have the whole thing or nothing at all. It's kind of the same with early access games. Sometimes I'll buy them, but I won't play them until they're actually finished.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. But let's go ahead and get into the weeds of things. I think at its heart, I think most people realize that, but it's important to point out that, like, you know, Agent 47, he has less than common in somebody like Corvo from like the Dishonored series, and more in common with somebody like Bugs Bunny, because I feel like for as serious as the series is kind of painted, when it comes down to it, a lot of it's slapstick. I mean, you can complete these games like dressed as a giant flamingo. You can knock out people with a fish. It's just, there's a bunch of silly stuff like that. And I think that, you know, you can play it like on the straight and narrow, but I think you're supposed to find the humor in all these absurd situations. Do you guys agree, or?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This game is very silly. Like, I think it's self-aware, for sure.
Like the groundhog hole with a muffin. So yeah.
There's so many. I know exactly the mission you're talking about. It's just like there's so many of those like little things you can do, because like each mission has like what, 6-7 stories, usually about 2, maybe 3 for each assassination target.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so that one, like, you can literally just put any item in a hole, like you could stick a grenade in there and the guy will come around and be like, it's a little unconventional, but it works.
Yeah. I will say the sense of humor this game has about itself is really smart, because if it took itself like completely serious and was very earnest in like its super spy stuff, which it also kind of does. So that's the kind of the interesting thing. But I think it just wouldn't be as fun. It would just be very serious, and when things go wrong or you make a mistake, it would clash really bad with the tone that the game's trying to go for. Where here it's kind of the reason Agent 47 it makes sense at all to compare him to Bugs Bunny or whatever, it's because it is pretty Looney Tunes what happens in this game, and especially when things fall apart. But at the same time, I think they did a good job like preserving the illusion of like a really, you know, Mission Impossible, James Bond kind of, like, you're going to fancy places around the world and killing rich, powerful people. You know, it just they preserve that really well, and I think a lot of that goes to the voice acting and the presentation. But yeah, I don't know. I think the tone that they landed on with Hitman, with these Hitman games, is really unique, and it totally works.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder what kind of direction they're going to take with, because IO Interactive is doing the next James Bond game, which, you know, has me very excited, but, like, I'm kind of interested to see how the tone in that game would be. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to see, if they went a complete, 1960s, 1970s James Bond route and just went completely, silly. That would be amazing, but I think they're going to try to play it more straight.
They're going to have to play it more straight. It's a universal Amazon property. The Barcellis are very protective of the brand. You're not going to get a Looney Tunes 007 game.
I would love a Roger Moore style, James Bond game, but yeah, that's not going to happen.
I'm not convinced that the cinematic folks have ever even played the games. It's so tonally different and just are two completely different games that are going on at once. I can see where the appreciation for that sort of difference comes into play, but it's a little bit jarring for me personally, because it's just what do they think it is? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to take away from the experience as a whole. Moment to moment, yep, tracks all make sense, but taken as a whole, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the story never mattered to me. It never justified its existence, honestly. I always look at these Hitman games as self-contained little missions, less than this is all part of a grander narrative of finding out who Agent 47 is or whatever. especially with the presentation of in Hitman 2, because correct me if I'm wrong.
It's so bad.
Yeah, but in Hitman 1 and 3, all those
fully animated.
I was just about to say the slideshow cutscenes kind of take so much away from it. It's so disjarring because I feel like they know, okay, this isn't what people come to this game for, so we're just gonna use these as kind of filler, or, we need to shift this scene. I guess we'll just put on a quick 2 to 3 minute slideshow and move on to the next location where, oh God, what's the woman's name? Gives you the mission briefing, I guess the head of the ICA now.
Mommy?
I think her name is.
I think she's also, if the ending says anything, she's younger than Agent 47. So,
Diana Burnwood is her name.
Okay, cool. Yeah, was she in Absolution? She must have been, right?
I think she's been there the whole franchise.
Okay. Yeah, because that was the first Hitman game I played, and what was it? At the beginning of that game, Agent 47, kills her, and then the rest of the game, he's kind of, I don't want to say babysitting, but he's looking after a kid, and I can't remember if the kid was her daughter.
Yeah, she is in the rest of the series.
Oh yeah, at the ending of Absolution you find out Agent 47 didn't kill her and she went into hiding for the entire game. But because of that I didn't really get to know her as a character, but I mean, I guess that doesn't matter because she isn't much of a character. She's just I mean, I guess what is it? And it's not Q in James Bond, M.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's the M stand-in pretty much.
I feel like there's, to that point, the main characters, Agent 47 and Diana, they're not really characters. There's not much there. But the targets, in the small time that we have them, they have so much character. And they're a lot of fun to, just observe and see how they behave and how they treat the people around them. I don't know. I think all that's done really well.
Yeah, and I think... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, yeah, I think that... And this goes back to Marcus's point of, like, it being so disconnected from the cutscenes, is that because you can do anything, like, the levels are giant sandboxes, and you don't have to conform to, you know, Agent 47 doing it one specific way, that, like, he has to be kind of like a blank slate that you can do whatever you want with. So that, yeah, like, I think, as Javi said, the characters are the ones you're killing, because they have the story behind them. They have dialogue between other characters. Your guy is just kind of there to blend in and kill them.
Mm. Except for when he, in the flamingo outfit, if you stand still, he starts just like very lightly doing the chicken with his arms. It's like, there's some character.
Yeah, I think... I do like, you know, as much as we can complain about, like, the more, maybe not complain's the right word, but, you know, critique the, you know, the story bits in between the missions that play themselves really seriously. I think the writing they put into each mission is really good. I feel like they strike a tone behind, you know, like, giving these characters enough background to make them feel like, hey, they're actual, you know, people, and also just adding in, like, sprinkles of, like, oh, wow, these are really shitty people. Yeah, I'm not gonna feel bad about doing this whatsoever. I think it's a really bad, like, I think the most brutal kill for me, and I know it's, I mean, they've got rat poison everywhere, so of course it's gonna be one of your go-to kills, is, like, when you drown somebody in their own vomit. I'm always just like, I'm so sorry for doing this. Sometimes I'll even choke them out, as opposed to doing that, because I'm like, the thought of doing that is just, oh god, I feel like it's one of the worst ways you could ever die.
I love how Dax is like, I'm gonna try and do this the most humane way possible, even though these are, like, some of the worst people ever to walk the earth. They're horrible people.
I'm a goody little two-shoes, but I think that's also what I like about the Hitman games, because it also kind of penalizes you for, like, taking out non-targets.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like, oh, you're not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be a scalpel. So I don't know. That's something I kind of appreciate about the games.
Oh, like, yeah. Me too. I think that the fact that the game makes a point of never, like, your target is never somebody innocent. They're always just, like, outrageously evil. Like, and they're always powerful, and, like, yeah, they deserve it usually. And I think Agent 47 just being kind of or the game punishing you for going off that very specific task is the game's way of being like, hey, you know, you're doing terrible stuff, but, like, I mean, you're not just, this isn't like the sadism simulator or anything like that. You know, although I guess you can turn it into that if you want to, but anyways,
I killed so many people, Javi. So many people died.
There you go.
Decimated India.
I kill so many people on accident because I forget I have, like, a screwdriver equipped, and I accidentally stab them in the eye with it. Like, that happens all the time with me. It's like, oh yeah, I have to unequip this to choke them out. I can't have any blunt object equipped, or I'm going to hit them with it.
Yeah, I would do that, like, accidentally, like, oh, I've got the measuring tape equipped, and when realizing it, and then I'm like, oh god, I'm gear-rating somebody. Shit. Reload. I think that's also a thing, because sometimes you'll pick up an object and then you'll be like, I think this is non-lethal, and you have to, like, check in the description being like, okay, is it lethal or non-lethal? Otherwise, you're going to have that same exact scenario where you throw it at somebody and you accidentally hit them in the eye and you're just like, oh, fuck.
You've got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet.
Sure. Sure. But, yeah, just we kind of covered them overarching story to a degree. Lucas Gray, I mean, kind of not much of a character, but he's cool. So, I mean, let's and then this story ends with Diana figuring out that Agent 47 murdered her parents. So I guess that was supposed to be a reveal, but part of me is just like, somebody hired him to do it. I don't know why that would matter to Diana that much.
If anybody would understand, it would be her.
It's just a job. I just like, you know, what is it? The final target. What was his name?
The Constant.
The Constant. God, I know the huge main enemy group is supposed to be, you know, like a stand-in for the Illuminati. It just every time they retreat to their VR meeting room, I laugh my ass off because I'm like, this is super dorky. They're putting on VR headsets to meet in a giant pyramid. But no. I guess I'm just like, okay, what's the weight of this? I mean, obviously somebody hired 47 to do it. It's not like he did it of his own volition. But
you're paying the story way too much mind here.
Yeah, I know. I was about to dismiss it, but I figured, might as well address the cliffhanger ending that the game decided to include.
Honestly, I've beaten this game, and this is the first time I've heard this story.
And just cuts the he just skips the 3-minute cutscene. Like, I'm gonna go get a drink while we'll wait to go to for me to reload into that mission again.
Yeah.
Oh.
I kind of feel better.
Well, Javi's a dev now. Maybe he really likes watching credits, and he's just like, I know that guy.
I played Hitman 2 before Hitman. I guess it's not one, but 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't played that. So, all these characters, you know, besides 47 and
whatever, oh, they probably mean nothing to you then.
They didn't, and I'm glad that it's not just me, just jumping into the middle of this series, be like, okay, I have no idea what's going on, who any of these people are. It sounds like they just really don't matter at all.
It's just the nature of how the game is structured, I think.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. They don't. Nothing ever feels like it gels with the actual gameplay.
There is parts in I think the opening of 2, right? You're infiltrating that house. There's a whole bunch of story going on there, if you're picking up certain items and stuff. But then once the second level kicks in, you're back to just murdering fools that they ask you to murder. And you hardly get any story until the last two missions again. A weird way of, and then with all that, we're going to have all these serious cutscenes in between, but they don't really tie into what we're doing.
Yeah, it just feels painfully they they shouldn't have a story. You know, just let the levels stand on their own. Doesn't need to be a big interconnecting thing, or at least not the story that they told in Hitman 2. I don't know. It's just it was irrelevant.
Irrelevant, but slightly funny. I don't know. Just 2-3 minutes of them playing up super serious, shadow agencies, and just a light chuckle for me at the very least.
I think there's a cool story there, right, between what Hitman and Hitman 2. It's just not part of this game.
But yeah,
also now that cliffhanger. Oh, sorry, Dax, but also that cliffhanger didn't really mean much to me because when I initially played Hitman 2, it was after 3 was already out. By the time I finished 2, and so I just went right on to the third game, and it was all just sort of one thing. I had to go back and look at the level list for 2 to make sure, oh, okay, these are the ones that were actually just part of 2.
Yeah, because I was. Go ahead, Javi.
I was just gonna say loading up this game, I was like, what levels were Hitman 2? And I was like, oh, none of my favorites. Hitman 1 and 3 are in my opinion, way better games. But yeah.
Yeah, no, the levels in Hitman 3 are supposed to be really, really good, like, to the point where it's hard to pick out a weak one with all of them.
Yeah, 3 is phenomenal.
That's good to hear. But yeah, when I was loading up Hitman 2, I was just like, okay, I'm going to try and finish this by the time we record. And then I noticed there was maps for like New York and some like island nation. And I was like, shit, do I have 2 more chapters after this one? And then I was like, oh, wait, they're DLC. They don't really tell you that they're DLC though.
So question for you guys, because I mean, and we've dismissed the story, but do those DLC missions add to the story? Like, is there any, or are they really just levels? Did you guys play any of the DLC?
No, that costs money.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Hold on. I need to look up Hitman 2 DLC to see if any of this looks familiar, because this is all just a big blur for me, the Hitman games.
I played it through Game Pass, and those 2 levels, it says, like, get access. They're like grayed out.
Okay,
like,
so they're not even available. Got it.
Like, I'm not going to click on it.
And if you bought like the what is it? They have all 3 games packaged as the world, Hitman World of Assassin. I thought if you bought that, you got access to all the previous DLC.
No.
Yeah, like when you download it, or at least from Game Pass, when you download it, it says Hitman 3, but it gives you all 3 games. So then it says Hitman 3, and then it turns into World of Assassination when you actually like open it up.
You said it was New York?
Yeah, New York, and oh god, like I said, it was an island nation. I can't even tell you. Let's see, Hitman 2 DLC missions. Yeah, the expansion pass, in addition to Haven. Like the Haven, also includes some more of the sniper missions. If you guys did, you guys even touch that?
No, I haven't. I need to. Yeah, I have not played these. Huh. I need to get them.
Yeah, I think those have no connection to the actual story. So, I mean, honestly, if you're complaining about the, you know, story that takes itself too seriously, I feel like these DLC missions are just for you, because it's, you know, another day in the life of 47. But, yeah. Even though Javi already touched on how he preferred the missions in 1 and 3 a bit more, what did you guys think of the 6 main missions? You had New Zealand, you had Miami, you had South America, I want to say it's Colombia, you had Mumbai, India, you had Virginia, USA, and then finally you had the Illuminati Island, or whatever it was. So, did you guys have any favorites out of those 6?
I think Vermont's a standout. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Vermont a lot.
Virginia. Is it Vermont?
I don't know. I thought it was Vermont. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me look.
Okay, I thought it was. I thought the whole thing was like it was Virginia, because you had like a bunch of like government employees. So I thought it was like right out of Washington D.C.
One of those V states.
Whittleton Creek. In Vermont.
Okay, never mind. I'm wrong.
This is just like small town America.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite. And honestly, like, while I like the Mumbai map and the South American map, sometimes it feels like having 3 targets is a little too much. Sometimes I like it when there's just like 1 or 2 main targets, because that means kind of replaying, it's easier. I just have to worry about, you know, taking out, you can take them all out at the same time. I remember in the first game, like, you were taking out like a husband and wife that were fighting, and one of the kills you can do is like push the wife onto the husband and kill them both in like 1 go. Whereas it's harder to do that when there's like 3 targets.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
The 3 tell, like, I think the Columbia one, right? Like, they're not even really, like, they don't ever really interact, or at least they didn't with mine. Like, there's 3 separate areas that they're in. Like, the one guy is in his cocaine lab, the other guy is in his villa, and the one is across town in the office. Like, they're it's weird in how they they set that up. It's like, we want you to travel all over this area, as opposed to like, we're going to get them all in one place and you can drop a chandelier on their head.
Yeah, and I know you can do that in Mumbai, or at least two of them, because, you know, it's like all three of the people in Mumbai were like formerly of, you know, a South Asian pirate crew. They all have it out for each other. So, like, you can throw, what is it? I think it's a brick into, like, a smelter that produces, like, purple smoke. And that's, like, the signal for the meetup for all three of them. So you can kind of draw them out using methods like that. But you're right. I don't think there was anything like that in Colombia.
That map is, it almost feels like three different maps stuck together, because they're, like, there's like three components to it that are like wildly different from one another. So I think that's probably my least favorite map, just because of how kind of disjointed it is.
Yeah, no, I can completely understand that. Also, like, they threw some like crazy stuff into that that mission, because it's just like, it look, I don't know if that was a story mission, but you can just like, oh yeah, the guy is so rich, he has this like hippo he feeds dead bodies to, and I'm like, huh, I wonder how that's gonna end, but he loves the hippo, so I was just like, what? That's a little too cruel. I'm just gonna choke him out and, you know, snap his neck in the bathroom. I don't want to put him through the trauma of being eaten by his own pet.
And Dax with just like the heart of gold of his ass. I'm not going to feed you to your beloved pet, because that would be extra mean.
Here's a nice bullet to the face. Sweet dreams. Pretty much.
Ethical. Yeah.
There's also stuff like, oh, I know this is topical, but in that mission, like, you can kill the, main cartel guy with the submarine by like messing with it. So like, when I heard that storyline, I was just thinking of all the what was the name of the freaking Ocean Gate, that freaking sub company that went to the Titanic like a 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Life imitating art.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to think. What was your guys' favorite disguise in the game, out of curiosity?
If I'm being totally honest, my favorite disguise is always the one that lets me get around the whole level without anybody giving me any shit. But but I guess the flamingo is pretty funny.
Flamingo is pretty good.
Also, good. Shout out to Miami. That's a great level.
Yeah. That whole setup is pretty neat. In terms of costumes, I like the whole like eyes wide shut bullshit of the last level too. Like, wearing cloaks and masks and shit. Like,
yeah,
weird cult vibe.
Did any of you get the kill where you're pretending to be the corpse, and you let the target come up to you? You dress up as the corpse at the funeral or whatever, at the Eyes Wide Shut party or whatever, and then when somebody comes to pay respects, you can stab them in the throat.
It seems like the other people around would have noticed that
she's the last one that like comes up. Everyone else leaves, and I did not do it. I did watch somebody do like a what do they call them, master silent assassin, is that the, that what the I watched somebody do that, and it's really cool.
Yeah. And that's the kind of kills that, like, they have stuff like that throughout all the levels, and so that's kind of why I like digging into the level and really just seeing how those play out. In the racetrack, there's so many ways to kill them. Like, you can shoot them from their driver's seat while they're racing and have the freaking car just drive off the track and explode. So it's just, it's really cool how many different things you can do.
Yeah, no, like, I don't know. I was trying to get it with the race car driver. I was trying to be like, okay, maybe I can drop a crowbar onto this moving car. And I'm like, nope, I can't do that. Am I good enough?
I'm going to time this perfectly to this car going 150 miles an hour.
I really like that. Yeah, well,
it's like I watch speedruns of the game, and it's just like somebody just like runs up there, shoots the race car, climbs up a building, and like the dad isn't even traumatized that his daughter just he just goes to the bathroom. Yeah. And yeah. Just, you know, like, freaking kills him in there and then just, like, walks out the level. Speedruns of these games are crazy because you can finish each level in, like, 3 minutes if you're good enough. Whereas I probably take closer to, like, an hour plus, especially my first time through.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, some of these levels are so huge that, yeah, you're going to spend a long time there on your first try just trying to soak it all in.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to think what else about this game. I really liked. I'm with you guys. I really liked the Vermont level. That was a lot of fun. I need to replay that one because unlike when I was playing through the first Hitman, quote unquote, not Codename 47, of course, 2016. I pretty much, you know, I replayed each level and I was like clearing out all the trophies/achievements. Whereas this time I was like rushing through each level in an attempt to finish in time for this podcast. So I feel like I need to go back to like replay the Miami and the Vermont levels in particular. But we'll see if I get back around to those. I think.
We both know the answer to that.
Marcus, there's always hope.
Speaking about returning to, like, I did not dig into Hitman 2 like I did with the first one. The first one had, like, where basically gave you the map and you could go through and, like, set parameters. You could set different targets and stuff. Do you guys know if that was still in the second one? Basically, you could create your own levels using...
Maps. I mean, I would imagine that's in all three of them, but
such a cool idea. Like we're going to give you this sandbox. You can do whatever you want and you can put it up online for like people to challenge and go.
Oh
against.
Yeah. They definitely have that in this game. They also have like the escalation missions, that sort of thing. I know, when the game was released, like they I think it was this game where they would put like celebrities like Gary Busey in the game, and like you would have like one shot to take him out, and then they wouldn't let you retry the level again.
Yeah, elusive targets.
Yeah,
elusive targets. Cool. There we are.
The first one was Sean Bean, and it was awesome. That was in Miami. Yeah.
The one time Sean Bean lives, because I'm sure 75% of the people that tried that weren't able to take him out in the one go they get at it.
I wonder, like, they put all that work, because a lot of those elusive targets were very like handcrafted, and I'm curious if those are just gone forever or if they've like created like a playlist of, you know, so you can actually experience those now. That would be a shame if it's just like you miss that window in that specific time and that experience is just gone forever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually I have the game in sleep mode right now. I was gonna check out the elusive target mission. Let's go to the finish line. I think this is the one with Sean Bean or Gary Busey.
I think it's Busey, by the way. I think it's on rotation. It was initially a thing where you lose it entirely, like it was just gone, and then enough people complain that they just started putting them in rotations.
Okay, so it's like a like how Splatoon will be like today. These levels are available, right?
I just looked up. Can I play old elusive target? It says all elusive targets will be in the year 3 edition.
Okay,
meaning everyone can play them. No matter if you previously failed or completed it. So yeah, they are there. You just have to, I guess, have a special version of it.
This game has so much content. Like, there's so much. Like the DLC you guys mentioned earlier, I had no idea that was in there. I might have bought it and not even know it's in there, honestly. And then I've never done the sniper stuff. That's a whole other game mode that's there, and I haven't tried it. There's just so much content, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and the feature that you were talking about in the first game, Chris, it's in the second game. Basically, cool. It's a contract mode, and you can search for like all sorts of parameters, different missions, different kill methods, time limits, all that good stuff.
Yes, I remember messing around with it in the first game, and like I picked like a UPS driver, like whatever, like a delivery driver as the guy to kill. It's just like you have to wait till like his truck comes around and then he's like doing his delivery. Like he's the one you target though. Like you can pick the regular targets, but you can also pick anybody that they have on the map to be the person you want to have killed. So it's really neat and adds infinite replayability to these games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will definitely need to I'm gonna prove Marcus wrong, and I'm gonna go back, and I'm gonna play a little bit of this game, just enough to shut him up.
You know that'll never work, because you'll rush the next game we do. It's a cycle.
Hey, sometimes I get ahead of the game, and I don't procrastinate to the last minute. Sometimes, but I'm
have trying you to enough honestly... time, Javi. Do you have a game for us?
I have quite a few, quite a few games for you.
Is Hitman 3?
All right, let's. I need a little bit of a break, but before we get into that, just closing thoughts. I think we covered everything. These games are really awesome, and you know, a lot of thought is put into them. Obviously, I feel like Hitman 2 is definitely more of like an extension of the first Hitman, because you know, I guess just mechanic wise I can't think of any like improvements. I think I remember seeing like, oh, they added reflections to Hitman 2. So basically in Hitman 2 you can't sneak up behind a person in the bathroom as easily, because you know, if they're stopping like a faucet from overflowing, they can see you approaching in the mirror. So there's a couple of small things like that, but overall it's pretty much, if you like the first Hitman, you'll probably like this, but if you didn't like the first Hitman, it's not going to do anything to change your opinion.
Well, and the way you play the game also depends on sort of the presentation you got, because you know, if you played Hitman 2 back when it came out, it was Hitman 2's engine, but if you're playing it now through the World of Assassination, that's Hitman 3 engine. So all the refinements have, you know, they've just sort of layered on top of each other as each new game's come out, and they've been able to import that stuff. So it's definitely gets a lot harder to sort of spot the differences, unless you like, oh yep, I played 2016 for 100 hours and I played 2 for 100 hours and now I've played 3 for 100 hours. So it's interesting in that regard, where it's just like, okay, they all work. It's not like it's impossible to do it, to do a like Sapienza in the Hitman 3 engine. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad they did it this way. You know, a lot of times when games move to a new engine, they don't have as much content. So for them to be like, no, this is it. We're going to refine it and tweak it a little bit, but we're just going to keep pumping out stuff for people to play. And I think that really worked out for them. They've got a really strong niche that like their audience just keeps coming back for.
Yeah, and it is a shame like what happened with the first game. I feel like it was basically the prelude to what eventually happened with the entire... Just what is it? It was Eidos, Crystal Dynamics, that entire, you know, that entire line of like studios and franchises. I mean, at a certain point, Square Enix was just like, yeah, we're gonna let this go. let this go for like an incredibly cheap price because we don't want to deal with it any longer. And I'm glad, at least for Hitman 2, I think Warner Brothers picked up the publishing. So they could get it out.
Yeah, I mean, IO bought themselves back.
Yeah.
So
that's the happy ending. So the developer owns the IP now, and they didn't before. That's really cool.
But regardless, did anybody else have any closing thoughts on the game?
Play Hitman 3 or Hitman 1. But this is good, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, like I said, 2 is the only one of like the current trilogy that I played, Before that, I've only played like Contracts, Blood Money, and Absolution, and I just like I really appreciate comparing this game to the older ones, how like massively open-ended and expanded it is compared to those. Like those games are like every game is like level by level, but like those felt like, you know, old school video game. Like you finish this level, you go to the next level. Like they're all just like little self-contained little models, and this one is just like everything is just huge and open and just like you have so many possibilities every single time. And like nothing ever feels the same. Like there's so many ways you could do the same mission, and you go to the next mission and there's like so many different ways you can do that one. Like nothing ever feels like it's repeating or anything.
Yeah.
Compared to the older ones. So I really appreciate just how much they took the series. Like it was already fine how it was, but how much they just really like blew themselves out of the water. Put it lightly, I guess.
It's funny that you call the originals, they feel like old school video games, and like honestly they are. They were PS2 games, right?
Yeah.
But like in the era where they were released, I did play a little bit of the second game, and I remember thinking like, wow, there are no video games like this. Like it's just like, I think there was a house party going on, and like I remember going into the bathroom and following someone around the house, and I was just like, this is so complex and interesting. But yeah, by today's standards, they're very quaint. I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what's really cool about this whole trilogy, is that there really isn't anything else like it right now. Like there's really nothing else that plays like Hitman. And even Hitman 2 is, you know, possibly the weakest of the trilogy, but it's still really cool and interesting, everything that they're doing. And you can see them, you know, really, really trying to make something unique and something that's, you know, kind of never been done before. And I think that's really, really admirable for this whole series.
Mm-hmm. The game's really accessible, you know, there's so many things you can do in it, but like the controls are very simple. You know, it's a lot of context sensitive, like X will vault over something, or it'll grab something, or it'll interact with the door, you know. And for a game with so many things going on, to keep the controls that simple, to where you're never like, wait, how do I do X, Y, or Z? I think that's really impressive. And also makes it like this platform that they've built for how these Hitman games, you know, work, is so scalable now. Like they could really make anything within this like structure of game design. So it's really good.
While I agree that it's a relatively simple controller scheme, I did have some issues like reloading my pistol and just doing some of the real basic movements, because they're different than like all the other games, or at least all the other games that I play. So it was just one of those things I had to sort of retrain my brain. But once I got it, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Your sense button and your reload button are the same. Which, like, I would have never figured out unless I was looking at the controller layout.
Yeah. I think the gunplay, everybody agrees, is pretty terrible. But in my headcanon, I'm like, though, that's on purpose. You're not supposed to be shooting up the whole place and getting away with it. You're supposed to fail when you do that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I fired a gun for most of the game. Like, the opening level tells you to shoot out the AMRAs, and I did that. And I think anytime I see a camera, I'd shoot it out with a silenced pistol. But besides that, I don't think I ever used a gun for the whole game.
Yeah, no, I didn't either.
Same. I would use it sometimes. I'll be like, oh, I drowned a victim, one victim. I guess I'll shoot the other victim in the head so I get extra points at the end of the level. But usually I would choke them out before I would do anything like that.
Yeah, I shot some of the targets, but like if I ever got into a firefight with like guards or whatever, I would run away or die and reload. I never even bothered shooting back at them. Like, yeah, this is fucked. I'm just gonna get away or do whatever it takes to try it again.
Way too much save scumming on my part.
you can kill. You can get them all, so they just keep running into a doorway, and you can keep shooting them. Then they'll they'll thin out a little bit, and you'll get, you know, pick up some more weapons and maybe escape out. Sometimes you die. Sometimes you just have a stack of bodies outside of a door.
That's how I played Absolution. Like, literally, I had like screenshots where there's just piles of bodies.
So something inside of me, basically, like when I complete a mission that way, Chris, where like there's just so many bodies and innocent people killed and crime spotted and all that, and I'm caught on camera. Even if I'm just recorded on camera, when I complete the mission, I go, "That was invalid. I run it again. I need to do it right." Yeah.
My agent 47 is all over the news everywhere because he murders everyone on camera. Just a psychopath that just kills everybody.
If you destroy your tapes one time, can you get recorded again after that, and then do you have to go back and do it again?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you could destroy the entire surveillance system in addition to the records. So it's nice once you find the surveillance room and you're just like, oh, I don't have to worry about getting caught by the cameras anymore, because sometimes I would be playing a level and I don't know, I'd be like completely done, and then I would walk into line of sight of a camera and I would be like, shit. And then I didn't know where the camera room was, so I'd reload and have to kill the final target again.
Just turn, you smile at the camera, and kill three more people.
No, but I'm the merciful assassin. That goes against my whole mythos. The
merciful assassin.
The sweetheart assassin.
47th is skinhead, Dax. I think you're good.
Assassin with a heart of gold.
No, he hates everybody equally. No, but yeah, that's Hitman 2. I'm glad to hear Hitman 3 is supposed to be even better, so that gives me something to look forward to later down the road. But yeah, Javi, what do you have in store for us this next recording?
Oh, I'm excited. You ready for my bullshit? Let's go.
We are. Okay.
Which one?
Kojima list.
It'll be apparent which one.
Oh, you're gonna be a real piece of shit, huh?
This is taking longer than I thought.
Yes, Resident Evil, Resident Evil remake.
Fucking
Resident Evil 2.
I bet I can guess what comes next.
Resident Evil 2 remake.
I was gonna say Resident Evil 3, but yeah, that makes more sense.
Oh, we're just skipping 3. Like,
yeah.
You know,
Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 4 remake.
That's it. Vote. Vote with your dollars or you're with your emojis.
I tried to start Resident Evil remake recently, but I fell off of it. Like, it's not that I don't like it. I just keep falling off every single time.
I didn't see Javi's post, so I thought Chris was joking. I honestly thought Chris was joking. Shit, you're making me play a horror game.
Not 4.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 is barely... Well, the new one is more horror than the old one, I would say.
Yeah, but that's just like saying Grimace is scarier than Ronald McDonald. They're both just giving out Happy Meals, man.
We'll see. We'll see if Dax agrees when we come back.
I don't even want to vote again, because it's just sort of like, what do you mean? It's the same game. I'm voting once.
Wait, what do you mean?
It's all Resident Evil. I'm voting for Resident Evil.
No, you know what? And I wish we had to play all of these, because these are very different games.
Very, very they're different.
They're very different games.
Like, where do you even
all play six of these are people? Very different.
Yeah.
Is Resident Evil 2 the original, like, on PS3? I mean, like, where do you even get that?
That's a good question.
Besides emulating it, I guess that's obviously the
option. You can emulate it. It's on PlayStation 1. It's on GameCube. It's on PS3.
Those are, like, ridiculously expensive. I mean, not PS3, but, like, physical copies.
I think the only one of these games I own is Resident Evil Remake. Yeah, that's the only one I own.
Well, all the remakes are readily available everywhere on everything. So I guess it looks like we're going RE4.
Remake.
Is everybody cool? Because that's a $70 new game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough, bud. It's real rough, but like none of these are on subscription services, so
I'm going for I think the entire Resident Evil franchise is on sale today on Steam, maybe? I don't know.
My PC can't run these.
I mean, all the major platforms are running their summer sale right now, I think. Well, Steam's not. They just ended, but PlayStation...
We can vote for the same game twice, right? Let's...
Oh, we can do that? I'll do that.
Oh, okay. I was just checking. That's part of our rule set, right?
Yeah, I didn't think we could. I don't know.
What are you trying to pull here? Resident Evil 2 Remake is pulling ahead? It is the cheapest option on what's on sale right now. Actually, probably yeah. The original remake is probably the cheapest.
Yeah, probably, but RE2 is supposed to be
a good game, yeah.
If I learn how to speedrun it, it won't be scary.
I can confidently say that every one of these games is very, very good. Resident Evil 1 is probably the worst game on here, but the rest of these are 10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
So I played like Leon's story of 2 remakes. I need to play the other one.
Yo, you gotta do Claire.
I need to play both, yeah.
Yeah, I'm...
Claire some
you
love.
Of all people, I'm surprised you didn't run the Claire story first.
Yeah. Resident Evil 2 remake is currently $9.99 on PlayStation.
I read the order makes more sense.
There you go. First. Y'all hear that? $9.99.
Yeah, I can spend $10. That's... Yeah.
Oh boy.
Okay. Let me go ahead and buy it before I forget.
Alright, Resident Evil 2 Remake. Let's go.
Alright.
You have to beat both campaigns. I'm just kidding.
I actually plan to, because I stopped with one of them.
Leon A, Leon B, a Claire A, Claire B.
Wait, should we all agree to do the same campaign? Should maybe we do that? So that we have the same experience? Because they're pretty different.
No.
I think doing it different. I think that might be the route to go because I feel like we'll get a more full picture of the entire game. I mean, maybe I can type in a cheat code and I can play tofu mode. That's still in Resident Evil 2 Remake, right?
It sure is, and it's so hard. It's ridiculously hard. I platinum this game though, so I did it. I did it well.
Because oh god, what is it? Tofu mode. You can only use a knife, right?
Yeah, they kind of mixed it up though. But yes, there's a bunch of different tofu modes. God, it's so funny. Hold on, I'm gonna put an image in the chat real quick. Look at this stupid thing. It's great.
And we all have to play it with the mod.
So stupid.
Play it with the mod that plays X gonna give it to you whenever Mr. X shows up.
Hell yeah.
I just have a button right next to me. Grace, anytime I play Resident Evil 2, I just press that DMX comes on.
All
right, that's the way
time
to
hide in the time to hide in the save room from Mr. X.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what? You know you probably should have voted for RE4 remake RE4 regular if you didn't want to play a scary game. RE2 remake is quite scary. So good luck.
I've watched playthroughs of it, so I'm not going. I'm usually bad at actually playing horror games.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. I mean, know what's coming.
Yeah. You can do it on easy. It's not bad. But I would recommend hardcore.
Like, horror is not a scary game, but it has a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going on easy. Sorry, Javi.
That's fair.
All right, cool. So we have our game for next month. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And I hope whoever's listening has a wonderful, wonderful day.
All right.
Say bye, Javi.
Bye.